Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The New China Playbook, Beyond Socialism and Capitalism by Kei Yujin, examines how China's economic rise has been shaped by a system that does not fit neatly into Western labels. Drawing on Jin's background as an economist and observer of Chinese policymaking and business dynamics, the book explores how the country blends markets with state direction, competition with industrial strategy, and local experimentation with central priorities. Rather than treating China as a simple case of state capitalism or a linear transition toward liberal capitalism, Jin presents it as a distinct model with its own incentives, institutions, and political economy. The narrative focuses on how growth has been organized, how innovation is pursued, and how policy tools are deployed across regions and sectors. It also addresses the misunderstandings that often arise when outsiders interpret China through familiar ideological frames. For readers trying to make sense of China's domestic trajectory and its global economic impact, the book offers a structured way to understand the logic behind China's choices and the trade-offs embedded in its approach. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a system beyond simple labels. A central theme is that China cannot be accurately explained as either socialist planning or free market capitalism. Jin frames China as a hybrid architecture where markets allocate many resources, yet the state sets priorities, shapes incentives, and intervenes forcefully when leaders judge it necessary. This topic emphasizes that the most important questions are not ideological but institutional: who bears risk, who captures upside, and how signals travel between firms, local governments, regulators, and the central leadership. The book highlights how competition can be intense among private firms and across provinces, even while the state retains the ability to mobilize finance and coordinate long-horizon projects. Understanding China's model requires paying attention to policy experimentation, performance incentives for officials, and the role of strategic sectors. It also involves recognizing that the state is not a single actor. Different agencies and levels of government can push in conflicting directions. By shifting the lens from labels to mechanisms, readers can better grasp why China can look market-driven in some arenas and deeply dirigiste in others, and why the mix evolves as conditions change. Secondly, the state as investor, referee, and crisis manager. Another major topic is the multifaceted role of the Chinese state. Jin discusses how the state can function simultaneously as an owner of assets, a regulator setting rules of competition, and a backstop during shocks. This differs from systems where the state primarily sets rules and leaves outcomes to markets. In China, policy banks, local government financing vehicles, and state-linked funds can steer capital toward infrastructure, industrial upgrading, and technology initiatives. The state also uses administrative tools, guidance, and targeted campaigns to reshape behavior quickly, sometimes trading predictability for speed. The book encourages readers to see state involvement not only as control, but as a form of risk sharing and coordination that can accelerate development, especially in earlier stages of growth. At the same time, the approach introduces vulnerabilities, moral hazard, misallocation, and the possibility that political priorities override market discipline. Jin's treatment helps readers evaluate both the strengths and limits of a governance model that aims to stabilize employment and social objectives while pursuing global competitiveness. Thirdly, local experimentation and competitive governance. The book highlights how China's growth has been propelled by local experimentation and what can be understood as competition among jurisdictions. Provinces and cities often pilot reforms, court investment, build industrial clusters, and test policy instruments, with successful models later scaled more broadly. Jin explains that this dynamic creates an internal marketplace for ideas and administrative approaches, where local leaders are incentivized to deliver results aligned with national goals. This topic clarifies why China can move rapidly in building infrastructure, industrial parks, and supply chain ecosystems. Local governments have strong motivations and operational capacity, and they learn from one another. Yet the same structure can produce uneven outcomes, including regional disparities, overbuilding, and hidden financial risks when localities stretch to meet targets. The book's discussion helps readers interpret headlines about property cycles, infrastructure drives, and regional industrial specialization as part of a broader governance logic. It also shows why national-level tightening and discipline campaigns periodically reassert control, aiming to curb excesses created by localized growth races. Fourthly, innovation, technology strategy, and the upgrade drive. Jin devotes substantial attention to how China attempts to move from catch-up growth to innovation-led development. This topic covers the combination of entrepreneurial dynamism, massive scale, and policy support that has helped China become a major player in sectors such as digital platforms, advanced manufacturing, and clean technology. The book explains how industrial policy, procurement, standards, and financing can create demand and nurture ecosystems, while fierce domestic competition pushes firms to iterate quickly. It also addresses the tension between encouraging private initiative and maintaining political oversight, a tension that becomes sharper when technology intersects with data, finance, and national security. By focusing on incentives and institutions, Jin provides a framework for understanding why China invests heavily in research capacity, supply chain resilience, and strategic autonomy. Readers also gain context for global debates about subsidies, technology restrictions, and competitiveness. The analysis is not simply celebratory. It recognizes that state-guided innovation can over-concentrate resources and that regulatory shifts can alter the risk calculus for entrepreneurs and investors. Lastly, global integration, trade-offs, and geopolitical pressure. A final key topic is China's evolving relationship with the global economy and the policy trade-offs that come with it. Jin examines how export-led growth, foreign direct investment, and participation in global value chains supported China's rise, while also generating frictions over market access, technology transfer, and industrial competition. The book situates current tensions within the reality that China is both deeply integrated and increasingly determined to reduce external vulnerabilities. This topic helps readers understand why China pursues supply chain security, alternative financial channels, and a larger role in setting standards and institutions, even as it remains dependent on global demand and cross-border knowledge flows. Jin also explores how geopolitical constraints reshape domestic priorities, pushing China towards self-reliance in certain technologies while seeking stable economic ties where possible. For businesses and policy-minded readers, the value lies in seeing how internal economic governance interacts with external pressure, producing policy swings that can look puzzling without context. The book encourages more realistic expectations about convergence with Western models and more careful analysis of how competition and interdependence coexist. In conclusion, this book suits readers who want a grounded framework for understanding China's economic system, including investors, business leaders, students of political economy, and general readers trying to interpret China-related news without relying on slogans. It can benefit a reader's life by improving decision quality. It helps you assess China risks and opportunities more clearly, understand why policy can change quickly, and anticipate how incentives shape outcomes for firms, workers, and local governments. Instead of reducing China to a moral or ideological caricature, the book encourages analytical thinking about institutions, trade-offs, and historical context, which is useful for careers in finance, consulting. Compared with many similar books that focus narrowly on either propaganda critiques or purely macroeconomic statistics, Jin's approach stands out for presenting China as a distinct system with internal logic and evolving constraints. The emphasis on mechanisms such as state coordination, local experimentation, and innovation strategy gives readers tools that travel across sectors and time. For anyone seeking a clearer, more practical mental model of China's trajectory, it is worth buying as a structured guide that sharpens understanding rather than amplifying noise. If you would like to support KU Jin, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.